We begin with the divisions in the National Football League among fans and players over the scandals that have turned the past few weeks and months into what some commentators are calling the most explosive and negative period for the NFL in its history. As we've already observed on this program, the NFL is not football, and football is more than just the NFL. But that may be the problem here. An estimated 1 million boys across the country play high school football. And the 2014 Super Bowl snatched the largest television audience in U.S. history. 111.5 million Americans tuned in. So player misconduct is magnified as having the potential to influence young men, and due to NFL ratings, has the highest of profiles in the public square. So NFL fan or not, you've heard these names this week: Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Jonathan Dwyer, Greg Hardy, all embroiled in domestic violence or assault disputes. These cases and the NFL's handling of them is what's being talked about in the first weeks of the season. The NFL has a special status in society and as a business. Does that mean it has a greater responsibility to handle scandals of this kind? Joining us is Harvey Schiller, commissioner for America's Cup 35 and former president of the International Baseball Federation. Also with us is Nicholas Davidoff, author of Collision, Low Crossers, A Year Inside the Turbulent World of NFL Football. And Jane McManus is a sports writer who covers the New York Giants and Jets for ESPN New York. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's take this apart in three pieces, if we could. You know, there's a management question for the NFL. Harvey, can you remind us what it is about the NFL that makes it special as a corporation? It has a status almost unlike any other, with the possible exception of baseball, right?
Yes. Well, it's effectively it has some federal exclusions. And because of that, it can operate both as a not-for-profit, but looks like a profit in some of the other ways. Yes.
And Jane, do the players have an understanding? Do the players have a sense that the NFL is special, is a different kind of workplace?
I don't know that they necessarily, you know, sense that some of those organizing factors make a big difference on their lives. I mean, I do think that they know that Roger Goodell, who's the commissioner of the NFL, has said it's a privilege to play in the league, so that they have a personal conduct policy, and that personal conduct policy is administered through the league office and through Roger Goodell. And it means that any off-the-field issues can be subject to fines and suspensions if the league decides that should happen.
Nicholas, it seems that we've seen this as a very whimsical policy in that on the one hand, maybe they're just deferring to law enforcement. On the other hand, they're weighing in, you know, heavily on other kinds of issues. Has it always been a sort of gray area where the NFL deals with the off the field issues?
You know, one of the things about the NFL that's true both on the field and off the field is that it's notorious for constantly renegotiating and changing legislation. This is both rules of conduct and rules of play. What's happening right now makes the entire country wince and cringe. These are lurid stories, and it's horrible. But one of the things that's also true is that the NFL players are not a monolith, that the NFL is a large group of people. Many, many people come through every football team every year. And, you know, Rex Ryan, who's the coach of the Jets, generally begins his first conversation with his players at the beginning of training camp by talking about just how diverse the composition of a team is. He'll say things like, you know, we've got religious guys and faithless guys and fat guys and skinny guys and married guys and single guys and, you know, on like that. And it's definitely true that the NFL has a lot of good guys and a few bad guys.
So, Jane McManus, given that diversity that Nicholas is talking about there, how does the NFL typically treat these domestic violence cases?
538 recently did a story where they looked at the way that the NFL has treated domestic violence and how many game suspensions were issued by the NFL. And historically, the penalties handed out have been lower, you know, one game suspensions, things like that, as opposed to other infractions. You know, it's funny, you mentioned Rex Ryan. One of the players on his team, Quincy Enunwa, is actually facing a domestic violence charge right now. He's a practice squad player, but he hasn't been deactivated. He's still practicing with the team. He's still in the locker room every day. You know, so I think, you know, the NFL has taken on these things itself. When Roger Goodell was hired, that was one of the things he wanted to do, you know, was kind of raise the standards. And, you know, if that's what your employer does, you are kind of beholden to what they say their particular standards are.
And Harvey, the NFL embraces this issue that we are America. You see it with the flags out on the field. You see it because that's what the sponsors are buying. They're not just buying a normal entertainment, a sitcom or a drama. They're buying this America idea here. And if the NFL can't sell that, we got a problem.
Well, I think basically they're buying eyeballs. The NFL is unlike the other major leagues in that there are no guaranteed contracts. And that's why through time, you've seen in particular cases where an owner may release a player for a variety of reasons. Normally, it's because of how they play or not play. But when things come through the punishment side for these disciplinary issues, it really raises its level to the commissioner. And I think most of that is because the owners at their particular level really defer to the commissioner because how it may or may not affect the entire league.
And Nicholas, is this role model idea for the NFL a business model? Is it just a matter of eyeballs? Do we put the NFL in this special sort of sociological category at our peril?
It's actually a pretty complicated question. I think without question, the NFL is first and foremost a business. And I think you can see right now that many people are concerned that the NFL is operating with a certain corporate callousness or in sometimes corporate discomfort at the moment, too. One of the things that I think about this, though, is that, you know, the way that an institution behaves, a large institution behaves, definitely influences and affects the way that people who work for it behave. And I think that people within the NFL are definitely always paying attention to what the NFL does in these moments. I think just as though as a public, the way that our big institutions behave define us sort of as people, and they help us and they become a prism through which we, you know, we see ourselves. And so that I think that the only really good that's coming out of this is that it becomes a public conversation, that because there is an NFL and because people like it so much and because people are behaving in this way, that we talk about the various things that the NFL is, you know, staggering its way through, like domestic violence or animal rights or child abuse or bullying or concussions or gay rights. Or these are all big conversations because people like the NFL so much.
Jane McManus, Nicholas was suggesting that Rex Ryan talks a lot about diversity, you know, when he speaks to his Jets players. You cover the Jets as well. Looking at the sort of executive suites at the NFL, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of diversity up there, and maybe that's a problem.
That's absolutely right. And one of the things that the NFL has done in the wake of this has been to hire women. They hired four women, one who's going to be a VP of the social responsibility, and three others who will be able to advise on issues of domestic violence and personal conduct policy. But, you know, this, it's an entertainment product. The NFL is an entertainment product. And the Ray Rice video, I think, opened a lot of people's eyes that, you know, when you go to a game on Sunday and you want to scream your heart out for your team, you don't want to feel conflicted about who you're screaming for and what they stand for. And unfortunately, the NFL is in a situation now where if they let players like Greg Hardy, who's the Carolina Panther, who has actually been convicted in a bench trial of domestic violence, if they let players like that on the field, I think that now makes fans conflicted.
But is it enough, the women in management, 29% women in management positions? Seems like an incremental change that you've described here. Does there need to be more of a sea change, given just how devastating this has been in public relations terms?
Well, I don't think it's the number of women in management. I think it's the power that those women have. You know, looking at the way that Roger Goodell adjudicated a domestic violence case this summer, you would be hard-pressed to think anyone with any experience in domestic violence had been involved in the decision-making process.
That's Jane McManus, who covers the New York Jets for ESPN New York. Harvey Schiller, you know, let's end on the notion of the fans here. What are fans to do? Fans want something to make this go away, and that sort of argues for Goodell's got to go. What do you think the NFL should do here to get fans back to their sense of the game?
Well, I think they have to keep reinforcing the message, what they will or will not tolerate. I think one of the things we haven't mentioned is that, you know, there's been a transition from what was really a sport to really what is entertainment. And these, every player on the field, because of their over-identification through not just social media, but typical media and normal media, is just like any other entertainer. So the question of their individual behavior is, again, because they're in the spotlight every day. And I think the NFL is waking up to that, just like every other league has had to wake up to it before. I think the future for the fan, as you ask, is really, let's get back to the game. I think that's what they're mainly concerned about.
Final thought on that, Nicholas?
Well, I think something that Jane just said, she used the word the NFL protects itself. And I think that this is really the big public concern right now, that you have young people who are going out and playing a very dangerous sport. and they're getting hurt. You have young people who are going out and doing horrible things to other people without real response to the NFL until after these things become big public sources of conversation. And if you ask me what the NFL should do is that it should become more transparent. It should become more proactive rather than reactive. It should seem like more of a humane organization. It would be much better for fans if we could admire the NFL, if they would, you know, if they would take the lead on so many of these problems rather than being responsive and sometimes being defensive. That, you know, in terms of concussions, why aren't they investigating impact studies before anybody else? Most NFL players are African American men. Why isn't the NFL part of the Ferguson conversation? You know, the NFL has so much power in a public conversation, and they seem always, I think what makes people ultimately so queasy is that they use that power only to protect themselves. That's hard for people.
And that's a really big idea there, Nicholas. Interesting. Jane McManus, I'll give you the final word here. Will Goodell's legacy be the guy who fixed this and got the NFL back into a leadership role on some of these big questions that Nicholas is talking about? Or will he be the guy who made a lot of money for the NFL and got bounced in a scandal?
I'm beginning to think it's going to be the latter, if only because he has such a credibility issue. I've been listening, you know, over the last week or so as players have been publicly laughing about, you know, the situation that Goodell is in right now. Here is the Law and Order commissioner who now is facing an investigation of his own and under quite a bit of suspicion about whether or not the Ray Rice interior elevator tape made it to his office and he somehow didn't see it. You know, he's a guy who said in Bountygate that ignorance is not an excuse. And here he is saying that he was unaware of this interior elevator taper that he, quote, suspected that it was there. Everybody knew that there was an interior elevator tape. So I think the next time that Roger Goodell wants to hand out a fine or hand out a suspension, I think that he is going to face a credibility gap there. And that's the real problem. I also think it's worth pointing out that the vast majority of NFL players will never hit another person or a child. And this is bad for them because they are now being painted with one brush, and that's not fair to any of them.
Jane McManus is a sports writer who covers the New York Giants and Jets for ESPN New York. She joined us from Ossining, New York. Harvey Schiller is a commissioner for America's Cup 35, former president of the International Baseball Federation, a former executive director and secretary general of the United States Olympic Committee. And Nicholas Davidoff is author of Collision, Low Crossers, A Year Inside the Turbulent World of NFL Football. We want to put this to you. What does the NFL need to do to address this problem? Get rid of Goodell. What else? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or find us at facebook.com/thetakeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from TIAA CREF, a financial services company helping to create financial outcomes that matter. Learn more at TIAA.org. And Moo.com, an online print and design company providing software and tools to create business cards, flyers, and triple thick luxe cards. More at Moo.com.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.